Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we've been working in 2018, getting ready for 2019. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about going from glory to glory. As one of the things you do is in preparation, you do that. You're just continually going from one to the next. You know, there's a lot of people would like to have, you know, maybe they're this year coming up like it was this year, the year we're in now, I'd like to have the one coming up. I don't want it like the one coming up. You know, and this is, a lot of times people's expectations aren't for so much. You know, they're not expecting anything. Well, you can't expect anything if you've prepared for nothing. Because one thing is faith is always doing. Faith is making preparations. Whatever you're making preparation for is what you're going to be walking into. That's what you're going to do. You're going to walk in prep if you're prepare for certain things. And you can also prepare for things that just waste your time. You know, and many people do that. You know, I remember back, I don't know if you, how many of you folks remember back in the 1950s, the Cold War days and the nuclear war thing, and people were building bomb shelters. And now today people are building, doing the same thing. They're getting ready. There's even Christians getting ready for, you know, to go hide out. For, you know, they're going to have to hide and they're buying all their food and we got ministries selling food. You know, your dried food will last for 20 years. And then on the next breath, I believe Jesus is soon coming back. Yeah. I believe so much that he's soon coming back, I'm preparing for the next 20. I'm getting ready for the 20. But they're preparations and are doing all these things. But back when they were building bomb shelters, all the bomb shelters that they built and they did all that things and, it didn't happen. They did all their stuff and it didn't take place. They spent their time and effort into things. And they didn't know that if a nuclear war started, they'd end up dead anyhow. They might just live a little longer than somebody else, maybe for a little bit longer, but die of radiation sickness. I'd rather be blown up in the bomb than linger on in radiation sickness. It's like, but people were doing things, you know, and we need to know as Christians, you know, especially in the areas of preparation, and especially we're dealing in the areas of faith, it's never good to wait and not be prepared for the things that are coming. Faith is something you need to always be prepping, working on your faith, always developing your faith. You don't have the same faith. If you believed last year, but you haven't fed that faith on certain things that you believe God and did, you don't have the same faith that you had before. It's weakened since then. See, the word believe is a continuous action verb. Must be continually acted on. We got to continually meditate in the Word. We got to continually build our faith. You know, I can't sit back. And when I first got born again and I started off and believing in healing and got healed, I couldn't have stopped then and then just don't go look at healing anymore and don't look at it. Just, you know, well, I know about that. You know, I have people all the time do that over the years. How many times I've had people come to me and say, I don't understand. Years ago, I'd get healed or this could get this to work. And now I can't anymore. I said, well, I didn't know, take no rocket scientist to figure that out. I said, either you got it when you were a younger Christian because of somebody else, or you developed your own faith and back then, but now you don't. That's not hard to figure out. You know, it does nothing. It just maintains itself, you know. It's just like, you know, if you went out here, you know, you bought yourself a car and you don't maintain that car. Do you think it's going to be in 5 years like it was when you bought it? No. Well, somehow Christianity has a mental block. And it has this idea that Christianity functions different than anything else. And that's why Christians don't get nowhere. They don't get it because they think this is just some kind of thing. It just happens, you know. You just, you know, you got this magic wand and you go, ping, and it's just, hey, it just works. Well, I found out that don't happen. So we've been teaching on the subject of faith, of what is faith. We're looking in three different areas of faith. We were talking about believing with the heart. It's important to be able to believe. But believing in itself doesn't produce anything. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you believe. Believing is good, but the person believing, the individual who is believing, must confess what they're believing. And if you're talking the wrong stuff, that's not good, because you're going to start to produce that. We talked about the fact that the human heart was designed by God, the human spirit, which was created like God, is designed to produce whatever words you put into it. Your spirit will always try to produce the words that you put into it. You keep feeding it the wrong thing, it'll try to produce it. That's its design. It's soil. It's just like the soil. Whatever seeds you plant in the ground out here, the soil will try to help that seed produce whatever's in it. Your human spirit's the same thing with words. It operates identically. You put wrong words in it, and it'll try to produce it. That's what it'll do. That's why Jesus talked about guarding your heart. Be careful about what you hear. Those weren't just nice little words said. You know, well, let's just say nice things. Don't ever say anything. Just say nice stuff. No, you're going to have to speak the Word of God. You want to produce what the Word of God says. That's what you want to produce. We're going to look today. Last time we were looking at, we're talking about actions. In other words, acting on the Word. We went over about Abraham and talked about Abraham was tested by God. Back in Genesis 22:1, we went back there looking at Abraham. Abraham was called the father of faith. So why did he get that name? Well, we're going to find out he did because Abraham understood how faith operated, and he operated on a very high level, way above what most people operate today. He operated on a very high level. Understand this about faith. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin this in a vision, talking to him about faith. And he told him that even if a sinner could turn around and take the Word of God, and if he believed it and he followed the principles of the Word, he could produce things just like a Christian could. You're not some special group. You've been doing this your whole life. Even before you were a Christian, you were producing into your life what you were saying. You were doing things. This is a principle that stands. So if a person begins to act the right things and doing the right things, sinner or saint, understand this. Abraham wasn't a born-again Christian. He had the nature of sin, but he produced faith in God that ended up being called the father of faith. And so I've watched this along. I have seen sinners being able to produce better than Christians do. I've watched it. And so it's one thing, you know, God established this system. And anyhow, in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, we found that God tested Abraham, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but God set a test, and we taught on testing. As testing has this purpose. It is not for God, it is for you. It's so you know if your faith works or not. If you don't ever have anything come against your faith, you don't have any idea how your faith works. And many times people refuse the test. They don't want to. And they would say, oh, you know, they want to have strong faith. If you're afraid of tests, you will never have strong faith. Never. I learned this as a baby Christian. Kenneth Hagin said this. I remember he said, great faith is built from great trials. Well, yeah, I can tell you this. Most of the people that ever heard him teach didn't listen to those things. They didn't pay no attention to that stuff. I paid attention to it. I realized you're going to come up against things. What are you going to do? When you come up against something, what do you do? Here's what most people do. And this is not criticism. It's just what happens. I've learned this from Kenneth Hagin. These are the things. I didn't dream this stuff up. I was taught it. What most people do is they will do something immediately that's natural. Immediately they'll do. Number one, most people, they come up with a problem, you know, medical problem, a physical problem. First thing they do is go to medication or a doctor. That becomes their number one direction that they head. That's what they do first. And then after they find out that it didn't work, then they come back and now let's get God. Now I'm just telling you, this is how it works. It's one thing, says Brother Hagin, I learned this from him, and he said about this. He said, you need to learn to put God first. You should go to God first. Asa, the king, didn't go to God, and he sure knew to, but he didn't. He sought the physician and died. He died. Why? Because the physicians couldn't fix him, and he got over and got into himself into a problem, trying to get the physicians to fix what it took God to do, and then he had no faith for it. Whatever you start throwing out there first and you head toward first, that's the thing that's going to be predominantly what moves you. Is learning to go to God first. You have to learn to stop and say, hey, hold it. This thing's happening here. This is... Start out with God. See, I learned to do that. I learned it from listening to Kenneth Hagin. The Lord told me, don't listen to all these other people. I want you to sit down and listen to the way that he teaches it. I want you to listen to what he says about it. And so I learned to put God first. He said to do that. So I learned. That's what I did. Something arose, we got God involved in it first. You know, in learning to do that. So I learned to set up my own tests. I wanted to find out where my faith was. If you don't ever have a situation, you come up and you stop and say, I'm going to trust the Lord and not do anything else about it. You don't ever do that. You have little faith. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you. That's the way it is. You have to come up to things. That's why I set myself up. I say, I'm believing God for such and such, and I'm not going to do something until I get that thing works out with God. I'm not going to do anything else about it. Why? Putting my faith out there. So I know what my faith produces. I know what I can produce with my faith. If you don't know, if you always got a plan B, or maybe your plan B is actually your plan A, whatever you're doing, you determine how far your faith goes. When I asked the Lord, when he talked to me in 2014 about finances, I said, how far am I supposed to go with this? He said, it don't have to do with me. This is about you. How far do you want to go? You need to understand that's how far you want to go. We're singing a song this morning about being anointed. How do you know you're anointed? Anointing produces something. If you don't produce anything supernatural, you don't have any proof you got an anointing. To say you do you really expect God to manifest through you supernaturally? Do you really expect that? When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I thought manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit were going to happen. In fact, I would talk to God about it. I'd say, boy, praise God, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. God's going to manifest through me. He's going to do things through me. That's what he's going to do. And I'd talk to the Lord about it. Now, most people are sitting around and waiting on their easy chair, saying, yeah, well, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Spirit. But they haven't done nothing about operating in the anointing. We sing about anointing. If the anointing don't produce anything, what's the point of having it? There's no point. You see, this is I'm teaching on faith and on the subject of faith. This is how this stuff works. See, we've gotten lazy. We've gotten over and thinking, well, you know, God will just, if it's in his will, if he wants me to operate, God wants you to cast out devils. I done read it in the Bible. In the name of Jesus, you're supposed to cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, you're supposed to have a healing ministry. Do you know that? Well, then get one. Start acting like it's true. You know, we need to get over into a way of thinking that is like the Bible instead of this religious ideas about stuff. Our little religion we got really nice and it makes us feel good. But it doesn't produce anything. The whole point of the anointing is on us to produce something. You know, if God would have anointed me to teach, and then I'd get up to teach and all I had was me, man, I'm going to tell you what. I'd say, well, what's the point of the anointing? Who needs it? Dear God. Well, you know, I tried the teaching and all that kind of stuff and doing things. You know, I could do to a point. I knew God, you know, wanted me to minister the word. But I'll tell you, the anointing changed everything. And then when I got the anointing, the Lord told me, he said, don't you ever say you're not anointed, no matter how you feel or what seems to be going on. You're anointed. I've anointed you, and you say you're anointed. See, a lot of people are trying to get an anointing. If you ain't used the one you got, you don't need another one. You have no need for it. And God will not give you another anointing if you've done nothing with what you got. He won't give you another one. We go from glory to glory, and if you haven't gone to any glory, it's no use trying to get another one. No, I'm just teaching. This is just how it works. I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you gave your child some money to go buy something and they didn't go buy it and then come and ask you for money again to buy something else, and you go take your money and buy that. Would you hand them more money? No, we wouldn't hand them more money. But somehow we think God's an idiot and we can go do that things with him. That he's a dumb parent. He loves us so much. Yeah, he loves you so much that sometimes he quits talking to you and he just ignores you because he loves you so much. And he does. And he's smart to do it, not pay attention to you. I learned for this from Brother Hagin's, a baby Christian. He said this, told a story that when he was a baby Christian, that he didn't walk in the light of the word God gave him. That when he was on his deathbed, now think about this, he's on his deathbed. But he told God when he got born again, he said, anything that I read in the Word, he said, I see it. He said, I'm going to believe it's true and I'm going to act on it. And what happened to him was he got over in the area and he read where he wasn't supposed to worry. And he had, him and my mom used to hang out with his mom and my mom did. They were world champion worriers, you know. And so he said, man, I was just raised in worry. And he said, you know what? He said, when I saw that, he said, I just drew back because I just I'm going to see without worrying and all that stuff. And he said, now this is a young boy. He's 16 years old. He's on his deathbed. And he said, when I go read the Word again, he said, it was like darkness to me. I couldn't see anything. He said, it just didn't do nothing for me. This is why people don't get revelation from the Word. This is why lots of Christians don't get revelation from the Word. They read it and like what it says, but they ain't about to do it. And he said, I realized that I was getting nowhere. And he said, I backed up and went back over to those scriptures that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to deal with that, not worrying. And he said, I set myself to get in line with that, to give up worry. And he said, when I did that, he said, I started getting light in the scriptures again. God will quit talking to you. You know, I don't, all this idea of love just does whatever the other person wants all the time. Just what we do. You love somebody. You know, some people you're better off not talking to. But we need to get in line with the Word. But anyhow, there's tests and trials, and we need to in life, we need to be putting things out there. Now, the test that God's going to give Abraham is quite a test. This is quite a test. You haven't had one like this. And if you haven't had any great tests, it's because, number one, this standpoint, God ain't going to lead you into tests that you ain't prepared for and you can't do. You know, God's not going to come and tell you you need to believe for $1 million and you ain't ever believed for 1,000. He'll never do that. That'll never happen. God's not going to come and ask you to raise the dead when you never just laid hands on the sick. All these people, oh, yeah, we're going to raise the dead and all that stuff. And they don't even bother ever ministering to the sick. They don't even do that. See, we need to understand these things. We're going to find out what Abraham understood how God's kingdom worked and how faith worked. He understood it. He got it. We should have it today. It should be the norm in the church world today. Now, in the second verse, it says, then God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. It says, so Abraham, God went and talked a lot to Sarah to ask her if it was okay. And then when he prayed and fasted 14 days and 14 nights to find out if he should really do this, then he said, okay, I'll go do it. It's amazing. I remember, you know, reading this story just as a young Christian. I remember reading this. I thought this was one of the most phenomenal things, that a man, God would come and say that to him and he'd just get up the next morning and do it. So I knew this about Abraham. Abraham understood something that 99% of Christians don't understand. And I was in that boat. It's like to me, and you know what? Almost every preacher I've ever heard preaching this, they preach it exactly that way. They can't figure, man, this guy would just do this. And they try to make excuses why God would never put you in a situation. I'm going to tell you, God's going to put you in situations that tried you. He has done that with me. He's put me in situations that are very uncomfortable. It can deal with life and death. See, if you want to have faith to do some things, you're going to be pushed into some situations, and God wants to take you to places to take faith to a higher level. He took this man here. This man understood something. And we're going to look at this. He rose, it says he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So he did a march. This guy's marching along. We one of the things that we want to do, I'm not going to go in for it. What I want you to see is, and we want to look at why. Why was this man able to do this? What did he know? Now, lots of times, let me just say this. You know what you're supposed to do, but you've never trained yourself to do it. Now, this is not crazy. You got to be trained. You got to train over time. And it's one of the things you need to understand about training. Now, when I was in the service, they would force you to train. Now, you're a Christian. I can't force you. I can't make you train. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. That's just that simple. I can tell you what you need to do. Well, if you don't do it, don't bother. If you're not going to train at this stuff, you don't even bother trying to believe God because it don't work. All of this stuff is done through training over time and you develop in it. It isn't something you walk in and you just open the door and you're at this level of faith, you know, and you just, it don't happen like that. It never does. And it's always through things of going from one step to another step. And it's something you must willingly participate to do. Nobody's going to force you. The Holy Ghost is never going to force you to do the will of God. Never. He'll never do it. Now the devil will come and force you and he'll come and try to do things. The Holy Ghost won't. You're either a willing participant in it. You're either going after. That's why the Bible says if you seek, you'll find. When I started seeking God and I started talking to God, I wanted to develop my faith. I didn't realize I stepped myself into a place that was going to cause me to have to push into things, man, we're uncomfortable. But I asked to go there. See, many people want great faith, but they don't want the great trials. They don't want that. Let's put it all on paper and we believe it all on paper and it's really nice and it's really good and all this stuff, but we're just going to watch this thing and just, and then we're going to listen to other people's testimonies and say, ain't that really something what God did? I decided a long time ago, Ed wants to have his own testimonies. Thank God for what he does for other people. But if I can't get it done for me, what good is that? It must be getting it done for me. See, this is what the thing it is. Abraham had risen to a point. And I want to look at, because back in Genesis, the 13th chapter, I want to read you something that God said to Abraham, because God slowly built Abraham on the areas of faith, and you need to know this concerning the word. He said to him in Genesis, the 13th chapter, verse 16, he said, and I will make you your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. So I want you to see what he's building. In other words, God told Abraham at this time, his name was Abram, but told him, the amount of descendants he was going to have. What was going to come out of him. At this point, he had no descendants. He had a wife who couldn't produce children. They didn't know if it was his problem or her problem. They didn't know what the problem was. So, but the whole thing of it is, they got a problem. They can't produce children. And then in Genesis 15, the 15th chapter, the Lord speaks to Abram again. And in verse 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him aside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So you see what God's doing. Now, number one, think of God saying, God's talking about the dust of the descendants of Abraham is the dust of the earth. Well, you know, you can't. I sure couldn't count the dust of the earth. You probably couldn't count the dust in a square foot. And then he takes him out to the stars and understand this. In those days, they could see a lot more stars than we see do today. I mean, just when I look back as a kid, if I go back to the kids in the 1950s, we could see probably 100 times more stars than you see today when you walk out and look. It was amazing. I mean, the Milky Way was a common sight to see across the sky. In the summertime, you could see the whole Milky Way galaxy across the sky when I was a kid. That was common. I mean, today, people are trying to find it in a telescope. I gotta, you know, you got to get outside the Earth's atmosphere to see it. But and a lot of that is people say, oh, it's about smog and all that. No, it's all the lighting we have. It's the reflective lighting that we have from everything around, you know. My words, we got cities. I'm sorry, you can see Los Angeles an hour before you land and you're coming. You're going 500 and some miles, or about 600 miles an hour, and you're an hour out. You still fly an hour. You can see the lights of Los Angeles. And you're an hour away. You're about 600 miles out over the ocean, 35,000 feet, and you can see the lights of Los Angeles. When they come in by ship, they used to do this Second World War. They'd come in by ship, they could see the lights of New York City 2 or 3 days out. They could see the reflection of it off the sky. So we got a lot of light out here, a lot of light going on. But anyhow, he's telling him what God's going to do, and his offspring. He's going to look up here at the sky. Look at all those stars out there. That's going to be like your descendants. And so then God speaks to him again. Now understand, God's building something here. He's telling, now the first time he told him all his descendants are going to be, and then he said, now he tells him your descendants are going to come out of your body. Now God is building this thing. This is the thing, because we're going to find out. This is God's promise to him. God's telling him what he's going to do. So God's promising him something. So then in the Genesis, the 17th chapter, we had read this before in our teaching, but I want to go back over and read it again. Genesis 17 in verse 1. And it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. I want you to let's understand what he said. See, you have a responsibility toward covenant and toward promise. He told him here, now, you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to do what I tell you to do if you want to inherit what I'm talking about. You need to understand this. It's exactly the same way today. It ain't changed. Covenant never changes. The church preaches a one-sided covenant. It's all God's problem, and he ought to just take care of it all, and I don't have to do nothing in it. No, I'm in this covenant. You say, if I want what God has, he has to have the right to have what I have, or we ain't got no covenant. Our covenant is based on, it's a two-way street. I give what I got, I yield what I got, and he yields what he got. That's the covenant. There it is. See, many people, they come along. What did he tell Abraham? This isn't the law. The law hasn't been given. But he's telling Abraham what he must do to make this thing work, because he has a part to play in this. In other words, Abraham has to start to believe and act out. It's right. He just can't sit around. He just can't lay back and say, well, God's going to bless me and I'm going to have a kid. Well, we're just going to make this work. He told him, he said, Abraham, I'm mighty God. He said, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with Abraham, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants. Now listen to this, your descendants. Now you need to get this. You need to get this. Christians have been wasting their time praying lots of times for their kids because they don't pray in line with the covenant. They're not covenant people. They don't pray in line with promise. They're trying to get things fixed. I don't know why, but I learned this stuff. Well, I listen, right guy. I learned this stuff when I was a young Christian, how to get this stuff to work. But people are praying. He said he was going to establish his covenant. Come, you live right before me, Abraham, and I'll establish this covenant with your descendants. This is what I'm going to do. That's exactly what the Lord taught me when he showed me a Psalms 128. He said, if you walk right before me and you know you do it, I'll take care of your family. You have an obligation concerning this. This is not some free walk. This is why it don't work. Too many free walking Christians. They're not walking in the covenant. They're not walking in the light of covenant, the promises of God. They're not walking in light. They don't walk in light of the word. To not do the word's a sin. To know what the word says and not to do it. The Bible says it. To him who knows to do good and does it not, it's a sin. If I know to believe God for something and I don't do it, it's a sin. See, we think sin's smoking, swearing, and doing all kind of stuff. The church has a lot worse sins going on in it than that stuff. The church has a lot of disobedience to the word. Not doing, the word says to do something, we don't do it. There are nice stories, you know, in the book. He says, I'm going to establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generations, for what? An everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. This is what God said He's going to do. This is why, if you don't walk right and live right, you are bringing destruction on your offspring. You are. Don't bother praying if you ain't going to live right. Don't bother. I'm just telling you. You can pray and do all you want. You know, it's one thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin. You know, there's things he taught me, and I found out, proved out it was true. You know, he said, children are going to follow after how their parents live. We don't like to hear that kind of stuff. We don't like to hear it. But, you know, it's number one. You can walk and do all these certain kind of things right, but if you walk faithless toward the word and you don't find out what the covenant says and that stuff, you're hurting them. It's how you can stand in faith in your place of faith concerning God and your place in your walk. See, for me to not walk in line with the covenant, it's going to affect them. When I walk in line with the covenant, this is the power of walking in the word of God. This is, people talk about the power that's in the word of God. Start walking in line with the word of God. All of our whining and praying and carrying on hasn't done a lot of good. Because the biggest thing, the number one thing to do is walk in line with the word, then get a prayer. It's number one, that means if you can walk in line with it, then you finally know what the Bible says about it. If you can't walk in line with it, you don't know what the Bible says about it yet. Find out what the Bible says. You walk in line with it. I tell you, I've walked in line. My descendants are going to follow after me. Glory to God. God made a covenant with me and my descendants. Hallelujah. With me and my descendants. Why call Abraham the father of faith if he's got one thing and I got something else? But I'm going to prove to you, I'll show you scripturally where we stand in this thing. Hallelujah. Where you turn around and get a hold of things, then you can lay your head down at night and your kids are carrying on and doing things that you think are awful, and you can lay your head down and smile and say, glory to God, God's going to fix this baby. Hallelujah. God will take care of this one. Quit trying to fix it yourself all the time. It ain't working. It ain't working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's going to establish for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants. In other words, now you've got to think of it. This is the things that God is speaking to this man. Now, this is over a period of time. This is, you know, God has for 25 years has been making promise to this guy. Till he's up to the thing now to produce a child in 1 year's time, and he's going to be having, they're going to be having the child of promise. Now, in Genesis 21, we're moving up through, this is God speaking. So Isaac is born and we have Ishmael. Ishmael's born and Isaac's born. God never criticized Abraham one bit about the Ishmael thing. That's only the church does that. Preachers preach about it. God never criticized him for it because God never told him where that child was going to come from. It isn't until the year before he said it's going to come through Sarah. God hadn't told him. God didn't say a thing to him about it. Now, in 21, what happens? The child is already born. Isaac's born and we have Ishmael, and Ishmael's causing problems. And so this is where Sarah, we used this before also, but Sarah in Genesis 21, in 21 verse 12 says, for God said to Abraham, in other words, God speaks to Abraham. He says, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad speaking of, not of Isaac. This is because of dealing with the child that Abraham produced, that they produced in one, but God has a different plan. He said, or because, with this Ishmael, he said, or because your bondwoman. Don't be concerned about that. He said, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. Now listen to what God said. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. You know, Abraham believed that. Abraham believed that. And we're going to prove for Scripture. This is why Abraham knew that he could go sacrifice this son. He knew he could. Because God, see, God had told him all along. God had spoken. Every bit of what God is saying is coming to pass, is happening. God's making promise to him, and his child shows up. And he told him now, this in you, he said, this Isaac. In Isaac, your seed is called. It's in Isaac. Isaac's the one, is the offspring that's going to bring this thing out. God, there was a specific offspring that was going to come out of Isaac that was going to do. God said, this is the guy. So, God's laying this whole thing out. He's laying this whole thing down the line. Now, I want to read you something because this will help you from Galatians. Galatians, the fourth chapter and verse 28. And I pray you get a revelation. At least meditate on this till you get one. And Galatians 4 and 28 says this. Now we, brethren. How many is he a brethren? In other words, he's talking to believers. The term used is brethren wasn't talking just men. As we as Christians, in the Spirit, there's neither male nor female. The term. So brethren, he's talking to believers. Now he says, as Isaac was... As Isaac was, are children of promise. What we brethren are like Isaac was. We're children of promise. What was the promise? The promise was out of this descendant. That their descendants, out of Isaac, God's going to make a covenant with them. God's going to turn around. And the whole thing that he promised through Isaac is now God declares through the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia, that same promise stands for us. It's ours. It's our promise. That's why Paul wrote and said the words. He said, you know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? We're children of promise. We're not under law. The law brought a curse. He said, you're not under. You're children of promise. You're under the blessing. Your descendants are going to be blessed. The whole thing from Abraham. Abraham could not be the father of our faith if the covenant he had a promise didn't stand for us. Christ was the fulfillment of that covenant. Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with Abraham and through Isaac eventually brought the Messiah. The New Testament is the fulfillment of Abraham's promise. And you are just as Isaac. The promise stands concerning our descendants, the passing on of this thing. As God fulfilled that promise, hallelujah, that promise stands for us, to our descendants. See, these people, well, that was Old Testament. That was God talking to Abraham. There is such ignorance in the church world. There is such ignorance. I mean, even in Bible schools, there are such ignorance on the teaching. They put all these things back there as if they were just for them back there, and they say that stuff. Those promises are for Ed Gibson today. They're mine. That was God talking. I'm just like Isaac. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm the seed of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of that promise. And you think the promise lessened through Jesus Christ concerning my descendants and descendants? God said he's going, there's descendants. What's he going to do? Well, good luck with them. Well, you know how kids turn out. You know how things go. You know, when they hit their teens, you just can't. And people run around talking their stupidity. No. My seed, my descendants are blessed after me. Hallelujah. God's making his covenant with them. I ain't making my covenant with them. God is. Hallelujah. That's a God job. Quit being God. That's why it don't work. You're always trying to be God. Quit trying to be God to your descendants. Hallelujah. Believe God. Talk like God's doing things. Act like God's doing things. Hallelujah. I don't care what you see. God promised to establish his covenant with them. Despite all them heathens down through the line, isn't it amazing? If we had had it today in the way people believe in stuff, you'd never get the Messiah. You couldn't have the Messiah because God, oh, people mess up. I'm sorry. people believed down the line, and God was able to bring the Messiah in. He was able to establish his covenant in spite of what everybody else was doing. Hallelujah. Because there was always somebody along the way believing. Somebody along the way thought the promise was for them. Hallelujah. You take the promise up for you. You look at these things. God, this is what you did. The new covenant tells us and is clear. Hallelujah. We're Isaac. Hallelujah. This covenant's established. This promise stands for us. We're walking in. We're supposed to be walking in the fulfillment of this thing. We're the born again bunch. If Abraham could do what he did, not being born again and believing the word, what on earth should we be producing? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, he believed it, didn't worry a lick. God said, you got to take that son. What you got to do is you got to go offering to me as a sacrifice. But I want you to see this one thing as Abraham knew. Because we go to the New Testament and we get a revelation in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, concerning Abraham. What was Abraham believing? And we can look and we can know why Abraham believed and why Abraham could do what he did. And you need to be the same thing about the Word of God. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we have about Abraham here. Praise God. I love these characters. I love these guys. These guys inspire my faith. Hallelujah. When I read what these guys did, I just, you know, I say, ain't that something? Say, no, man, that's what I want to do. I don't want the story if I can't become it. Rip the story out of the Bible and throw it away. We teach kids and that stuff, Bible stories and all kind of stuff. And you know what? We don't teach them that God will do them. This is what God is going to do. No, we just, nice little story. Somebody else did. Man, we should be telling them, you know what? You know what God did back there to them folks? He'll do more than that for you today. Get them over in this thing. Quit using these little wimpy Bible stories that they do. My God, God's raised up a whole army of Davids. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, Bible tells us we're kings and priests. Oh, wasn't David something? No, he wasn't nothing like Ed. Hallelujah. He was a prophet and a king, and I'm a prophet, a king, and a priest. Get back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, in Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, so we're talking, this is the test, what we're talking about, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said. Now listen, it was said. This is the important of what was said. In Isaac your seed shall be called. Why? So what did Abraham conclude? How did he conclude this? Because all these promises God had made him, all these ones, not just one promise, all these things that God had said and proved himself and God had said, and then God makes it say, in Isaac your seed's called. He said, this was his conclusion. In Isaac your seed's called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, he was by faith. He believed God would raise him from the dead. God had to. If he offers him, God has to. Or God has lied, and Isaac is not the seed. Abraham had a good conclusion. When I heard the Bible say, by his stripes I was healed, I came to this conclusion. I'm not trying to get healed anymore. Most people never come to the conclusion of anything, and I'll tell you why. Because they have never stayed with the promises. They listen to preaching and tells them about the nice stuff, but they never go to the Word and take the promise after promise and stake it down the line till they come to a conclusion. Most people never come to a faith conclusion. You got to come to a conclusion. Because when the test comes, you're going to make a conclusion. And if you haven't been in the Word and looking at what the promise says and going over it and over and over, do you have a conclusion when something comes along that's pressure, what to do? I will guarantee you, you're going to have the wrong conclusion and you're going to believe the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. He came to this conclusion. If I sacrifice him, God has to raise him from the dead. Because why? If he don't, God's a liar. It's simple. When I understood that as a young Christian, I never worried about death anymore, sickness or something killing me. I never worried again. God has to heal me. I came to that conclusion. That's when I had that heart attack. See, I'd already come to that conclusion. You don't come to those conclusions when the big test comes if you hadn't come beforehand. You don't come to that conclusion. You come to those conclusions beforehand. That's why it was the word in me that I had put in me. That's what rose up at that time. See, that was bared fruit. I had bared fruit in that for years. For years I had bared fruit. I wasn't afraid of death when death came. God taught me through my own kids concerning death and things. He taught me concerning things happened. When Alyssa fell and she had a really severe concussion, God taught me through that thing about believing Him. God put a test in front of me. He asked me this. Do you want to believe me or take her to the hospital? And this is what He said to me. If you take her to the hospital, she's going to have to go through a bunch of different things you're going to have to go through. You're going to test and you're going to do all kinds of stuff. You're going to have to go through all that stuff. She's going to have to go through that. Do you want to believe me? Or do you want to, He said, you know, they're going to keep her in the hospital at least a day or so. Or do you want to believe me? He asked me. He put a test out. Most people never, and I'll tell you, whenever something happens, the first thing is I do is stop and I just, God, what's going on? What's happening? What do you want to do? Is there anything you want to say in this thing? I don't care. One of you could drop over on the floor right here now. I ain't going into no panic. The first thing I'm going to do is listen to me on the inside. God's in me on the inside. I ain't going to listen to you. I've learned that a long time ago. I'm not moved by what happens to you. I'm moved by what God wants to carry out and fulfill. That's what I'm moved at. That's what I'm moved at, because that's where the supernatural help comes from. It don't come from us going into all of our little natural training. Look, there's two areas. We call today what we call common sense. And what we mean by common sense, and there is a common sense, should be a common sense with something, things that you do naturally, it happens on. But there's a spiritual common sense that overrides it all. And most people don't have it. They'll follow the common sense of the natural of what it is to do, or not even know that. But there's one thing or the other. If you follow the common sense of the natural, you won't have the supernatural. You're going to have what you're planning on doing. That's what you're going to have. And that's why I've learned to stop and listen. You know, I just learned to stop. I learned to stop and pay attention. And you got to learn to do that. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. As not as many as are Christians. As many as are led by the Spirit. See, I want to live out the sonship. I don't want to just be called a son of God. Say, he's one of the kids, but you know, he's definitely the black sheep because he don't hang around with his daddy at all. Don't you know? You know. You see, we got to get over to where follow. We want to walk close with the Lord. We want to do that. There's a purpose in it. You have to learn and train in these things. When Abraham, this is why Abraham, see, Abraham was so consumed with his promise. He was so consumed. You know what Abraham was thinking about. When God told Abraham, go offer my son, he can get up the next morning and go. Why? God's going to have to take care of this whole thing. He said he received him. When do you think he did that? I'll bet you when God told him, we don't have it here, but I'll bet you when God told him to go to offer his son, and I could see Abraham, well, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. You told me he's going to be the guy. I'll do anything. I'll go do it. Okay, I'll go do it. We're going to see a miracle. Let's go watch this one. You think his sacrifice is something? Wait till you see what happens afterwards. He's going to do it. See, most people, when it comes to healing, it's like with healing, you know, and I've said, you know, over the years of this, people, you can go. People will take off. The first thing they do is if something happens, it's sort of serious. First thing they do is they run the doctor, don't pray any attention about God. They don't do anything. They go do it. And then, let's see if we can get a hold of God about this thing. And then after we found out we can't fix this. Now we know we ought to get God. We ought to start praying in unbelief. This is really going to help it. We need to know, to learn, to stop and say, hey, God first. Put God first. Get the promise. Now, I want you to understand this, because when we're dealing here with Abraham, Abraham has promises that God made to him. Now, we found out, this is one of the things I was emphasizing, because these promises belong to us too, concerning the descendants coming along. See, you need to get these things in you. They need to come to you where they're real. This is how, you know, people say, I'll pray, but I just don't have peace about things. You ain't never going to get peace. You don't walk faith. Ain't never going to happen. You ain't going to have no peace. Fear is going to dominate you and rule you. There's always going to be things. You get those by getting in the promise. Understand this. This is why it's so important. We're talking and teaching on this area because it seems, I know when I came in the kingdom, people had a better spiritual sense about things than they do today. People just don't have a good spiritual sense. We talk about the Bible and believing the Bible, but if it doesn't produce anything, it is worthless to believe it. It doesn't matter. It's worthless. And the reason the problem exists is because what you do is you go to God's word about the promises and those things. All through scripture, like we have a New Testament, all these things that God said. You know, the Bible says, you know, God, we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You know, and I remember I was listening to Kenneth Hagin talking about when he got born again, how his mentality changed from where he was a, you know, straight failure student in school and went to a straight A student. And I remember hearing that. And I remember, you know, it's like I always had certain troubles with problems with certain things and that stuff. And I remember dealing with, when I heard that, I thought, praise God. And then I remember him talking about we have the mind of Christ. So what I began to do is I'd go over and I'd meditate on that scripture and I'd look at it till one day, all of a sudden, man, I thought, you know, I got the mind of Christ. Man. And I remember saying this. I said, now, would Jesus have a hard time doing anything mentally? Would he say, well, you know, I'm just not good at this and I'm just not. I said, Jesus would never be doing that. And I got the same mind that he got. I didn't get a lower grade. It says I have it. And then I just began to start, well, my God, I already got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I can think like Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, they'll throw you out of a lot of churches talking like this. And there's a lot of spirit-filled churches they'll throw you out of talking like this. Why, is Jesus an idiot? The Bible says I got to his mind. See, everybody's trying to get something. And this is one of the problems. See, the promises were given to Abraham. Abraham was convinced that it was his. He's not trying to get it. He's not trying to get his son raised from the dead. God has to do it. If he tries to get his son raised from the dead, his son's dead. The promise declared that through that Isaac is where the seed is going to come from. That's the seed that's going to carry this thing. It's going to be Isaac. That thing's settled. God has to raise him from the dead if he sacrifices. God has to heal me. Or Jesus, he took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I was healed. I have to be healed. Why? God's a liar if I'm not. I learned that, you know. It's like with Alyssa. I was telling that story, but go back down through, back down that story. It's where, you know, Alyssa, she started, I had prayed over her. And she started improving, went to bed that night, and things just started, and she started having problems, and she was really crying and going through stuff, you know, and your child's crying and having problems. Here I am. I know the Lord spoke to me. Finally, the Lord spoke to me. I got up in the morning, early in the morning to go to work, and Wanda didn't get much sleep, and I didn't get much sleep, but I remember walking in, and the Lord said this to me, I thought you were believing me. Well, see, what I had done, I'd got overlooking on the natural side of it of what was going on, and I was leaving my faith. I said, Lord, I said, you're exactly right. And he said this to me. He said, do you believe I healed her? And I said, yes. And he said, well, why don't you act like it? That's why most people, that's where they fail on it. They go through all the rigmarole of praying and then they act like they're going to be sick another week. And he said to me, why don't you act like it? And there, I'll never forget it. I can still see myself standing looking in that mirror. I was getting in the bathroom, shaving and stuff. And I looked at that mirror. I said, yes, God, I believe you. I'll tell you what, your word says that she's healed. I said, that settles that subject. That's done. Well, she went back on off to sleep and stuff and things were going pretty good. I get off at work from Reese's at that time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's my shift in. 2 o'clock, I get called. Said, you have an emergency phone call. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, Wanda calls. I go out. I call home. Wanda says, Alyssa's throwing up blood. What should I do? I said, just a minute. I'm going to talk to the Lord. And I hung up on her. See, I'm acting like Abraham. I can't let her move me. This is why you fail. God's told you something. There's a promise in the book. God's told you something. But you don't know how, you don't protect yourself. See, number one, I got to protect myself from my daughter. I know it upset Wanda, but she can be upset. I'm trying to protect my daughter. I'm not interested in her hurt feelings at the time. That's not important. This is why things don't work for people. We're always tiptoeing around people when we have in the middle of a fight. You can't tiptoe around. You got to keep yourself focused. And I stopped and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? And immediately he spoke to me and said, I thought you said you were believing this morning. I said, you're exactly right. Called her back in the phone and said, she'll be fine, and hung up. I'm Abraham. I got off work and I drove home. Alyssa's downstairs playing and everything else. And Wanda said, after you called, she said, about 20 minutes, she come downstairs and says, I'm completely healed. I'm completely well. What if I wouldn't have taken that test? If I would have taken those tests, I wouldn't stand where I stand today. I wouldn't be able to preach what I preach today. See, I know we have all this stuff today is taught, you know, you just, oh, you know. Look, over the years, I've had ministers and many people tell me, well, you need to use wisdom. And they were saying that. They say, don't walk in faith so far. God commended me and being radical about things. The violent take it by force. We let people destroy our faith, trying to keep people happy that'll never be happy. Once many people find out that they can control you in this area, they'll keep you from going in faith. Wanda learned through these things. She didn't try to hold back, and she learned how to walk by faith. She learned how, she started to see how it worked. If I wouldn't have done some things, her faith wouldn't have went as far as well. It wouldn't have went there. She need to see it. Somebody's got to lead somebody somewhere. We don't have a lot of leaders today. Especially in the families. There's no leaders. There's got to be leaders leading things to something. And then there got to be good wives that obey and get in submission. Let their husband get spiritual and learn how to walk by faith. Now, I'm just telling you, folks, this is just, I'm just telling you, it's, and that's one thing, is I really commend Wanda for, because she, you know, she get the point, if God told you to do it, you just go ahead. She'd just do that. Ain't a lot of households that goes on. There always has to be everybody in agreement. It's like the Lord told me, if I told you to do something, I said the Lord to her, well, Lord, what about her? And that's how he says, if she don't want to do it, are you going to disobey me? I said, well, I guess that ended that one night. Okay, no, I don't want to get in disobedience. You're trying to keep everything happy and nice. You know, you want to, but I found out you're going to obey God. The worst thing that Abraham would have done would have told his wife. He'd have told Sarah, that would have been nothing but a battle. Where would we be today? See, we know little about the faith thing. I tell you, we got all this today. Peace on earth means, you know, cooperate with everybody and everything and just trying to keep everything really nice. That ain't where it's at. Obedience is the place of peace, because you're going to have to walk at peace. You'll be in nothing but turmoil trying to keep everybody else happy. You'll be nothing but a mess trying to make them all happy. I just learned. Let's just obey God. You know, and I said about commending Wanda, because over time Wanda, she learned how to use her faith in things, and she learned how to, is one of the things when we want to do something in the area of faith. I'll tell you, if God speaks to her, or she gets a sense and a direction, I learned just like God did with Abraham. Tell you, listen to your wife. She got a good one. Let's go with it. That's a good leader does. He knows. And finding out what to do and learn to walk in it. See, and that's what, you know, that's how you keep peace in a home. It's just stuff trying to tiptoe around to not, well, you know, they might think I'm a little too extreme, you know. You know, Wanda learned to get extreme. She learned to get out there too. And that's what you want. You want to get outside of common sense. You want to get a good spiritual sense. That's the place you want to go to. That's the place. You need to see some miracles. If you don't just have to watch Benny Hinn to go see miracles, you're in bad shape. You're in bad spiritual shape. You need miracles happening for you. All through the time when we first got born again, Wanda and I had miracles. We had stuff going on in our place. God's moving supernaturally in our house. We had more supernatural in our house than in the church we went to. A lot more. I had more supernatural visitations of God in my bedroom than they ever did in a prayer meeting in that church, probably all of them put together. And you know why? Faith. I just always believe God would show up for Ed. God will just show up for Ed. Hallelujah. I got a covenant. Did God not show up for Abraham? Did God not come and talk to him? Did God not show him what he needed to know and needed to do? He brought that man's faith to the place that I can go sacrifice my son and God will raise him from the dead. Woo! Don't you want to go there, not just read a story? Don't you want to come to the place that, praise God, whatever he tells me to do, it's going to work. Glory to God, I don't ever have to be afraid. Hallelujah. I don't have to be afraid concerning my descendants. My descendants ain't going to hell. I want you to know that. My descendants will not go to hell. That's an impossibility. Because I'm going to walk with God, and God will have to honor his covenant. He is not a liar. The only liars I know are people and the devil. But God can't lie and he won't lie. Abraham came to that conclusion, a non-born again man. You need to come to that conclusion. If God said it, he's going to do it, and I ain't moving off of it any other way, he's going to carry that thing out. Hallelujah. Wherever I'll stand in faith, he'll meet me there. He's going to be there. He's always been faithful with that. You know, sometimes you don't walk right, do what's right. You know, I've told this story before. We had our kids. We came home. We had a motorhome and parked it in the alley. We were unloading off the thing, and I had them all in a hurry. Let's get this stuff off of here. And Elena's just a little tot. They're carrying things out of the motorhome back to the house, and she's unloading stuff. And I had them going doing too fast, and she fell on the sidewalk and whacked her chin. She fell right down. I mean, just blustered her chin wide open. And when it happened, I just knew inside I missed it. I was pushing to have them do it. There's certain things, you know, just because you're a Christian, you can't disobey good safety rules, you know. let's keep the guards off the saws and stuff, and let's do it. And I wonder why people are missing fingers and stuff, and they put them on there. Those things are good things about them stuff. But anyhow, she felt she busted open, and I just knew. But I walked up, I put my hand on her chin, and it was split open. I mean, it was really, you could see the bone. You could see her bone there. But I laid my hand on it, and I commanded it to quit bleeding in the name of Jesus, and just like that, it quit bleeding. But I knew inside I missed this thing. And I just stopped, and I said, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Because, see, I knew I did wrong. See, most people, this is why people's faith don't work. They just blow it, do stupid things, and they just expect God to go paint it, fix it for them just because I threw some words out there. This is why I'd be led by the Spirit. See, I knew on the inside when she fell, I knew on the inside I missed it. I got to deal with this thing. And I said, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, you're going to have to take her to the hospital. You got to take her. Because of what I did. So my kid's going to have a problem because of what I did. See, we don't like to deal with these kinds of things. See, learning to be led by the Spirit will lead you into places you'll learn a lot by God. Well, I'll tell you what, we were taking her to the hospital. We were driving to the hospital. And we were driving there. I said to Elena, I just want you to know, the devil didn't do this to you. God didn't do it. I said, your daddy caused this to happen. The devil didn't make her fall. Her daddy did that. And I said, I want you to know, I was wrong. I had you rushing this stuff. I said, your daddy did this. And I asked her to forgive me for that. And then I talked to the Lord about it. I said, the Lord. And he said, yeah, the Lord spoke to me again. Take her into the hospital. He said to me, I'm going to give her a good and quick recovery. He said, I'm going to do that for you. This is why things don't change. See, people do stuff wrong and out of line. They never repent. They never admit they're wrong. Things happen, they blame on the devil. It wasn't the devil, it was their stupidity. Folks, this is good teaching. I'm teaching how faith works. You have to learn these things. Well, we took Elaine to the hospital. It was really interesting because she ain't having pain, but Elena was like this. Elena was always like this as a kid. Even if she had a splinter in her finger, you didn't even have to touch her finger and she'd scream. That was Elena. Elena screamed at everything. She just screamed. That's the way she was. She just, every little thing hurt, and I just ignored her, paid no attention to it because I knew, but she just, well, they took her to the hospital, they want to examine and check her knee. They gave her, anyhow, they're going to have to sew her up. So they, giving her shots. They ended up having to put her in one of these papoose things and wrap her up in that sucker to keep her from moving around because she's ballistic. Now, the craziest thing about it is they sew her up and do all this stuff, and they said, does it hurt? No. Didn't hurt at all. Her, it was just her little mind and everything went in. She'd just go ballistic. And I just learned over time, I paid no attention to her. Because if Elena was screaming, there was probably nothing wrong. If it was anything serious, she probably wouldn't have screamed. But anything, anyhow, it's the funniest thing because, they had done the x-ray on it and they said about how hard she hit the sidewalk. They said, we're just amazed it didn't break her jaw when she hit. So God spared us of that one. But, here's the goodness of God. This is why you want to listen to the inner man. You want a good outcome. Elena never, we left the hospital. She never had any pain after that. Never. She had stitches underneath her jaw. She could move and talk and eat. They told her, oh, she ain't going to be able to eat. She'll have trouble eating. She could eat and talk and just, really talk. Elena was always good at that. She could eat and talk. No pain whatsoever. She could just move her jaw around. She had these stitches in there. Didn't affect her at all. No pain. Now, God's good. But you know what? We could have not even had that happen. Now, thank God, God showed me something and we ended up getting good results. That's wonderful. But it didn't even have to happen. It would have never had to happen if I would have listened to begin with. Now, I learned some things out of it, but that wasn't God nor the devil working. That was Ed's blowing it. There's many things people are into. If you don't learn these kinds of things, you're always going to be limited in the areas of faith. Limited. You're always going to be limited in your areas of faith because we bypass things. We just step over it. Well, I'm just going to believe God. Hold it. Listen down the inner man. Listen on the inside. She's like, when Lena, when she fell, I just knew immediately. I missed it. I just knew it. Inside of me, I did this. I caused this. See, we get into situations, things that we do, we just throw it out. We don't deal with God with it on it at all. We just go throw our faith out, try to get something corrected. Things don't ever get corrected. And then we talk about, well, I just don't understand why my faith ain't working. Because faith works out of the heart. And the last time I checked, the Holy Ghost is living in my spirit. He's there. He has a voice that wants to be heard. And if you ain't listening to Him and you don't listen to your own conscience, you're never going to amount to anything faith-wise. You have to learn to listen. Folks, this is good teaching. Good teaching. Get the promise. Is number one, I found this out. The more I built myself on the promises, the less dumb things I did. See, Abraham had promises. He came to a conclusion of all those promises. Number one, he had to be meditating on them. God even turned around and gave him the name, the Father of Many Nations. See, I was a Christian all the time. I'm believing for healing. No, the Bible says you are healed. What are you believing for? Something you already got. Why are you believing for what you have? Why aren't you calling yourself healed? Abraham, God didn't say, I'm going to make... God said, I have made you the father of many nations. He didn't say, I was going to. He said, I've made you. I have made you. I have made you. That was I have made you done. By His stripes, I was healed. I'm not going to get healed. I was healed. See, I come to that conclusion. I was. If I was, then I am. Then if I am, I is. See, we have all this. I'm believing for something. We're believing, trying to get something that's already ours. Why? It's the promise. See, I know Mike and Darlene. They're people of their word. If they promised me something, I would just naturally just, they're going to do that. I mean, I wouldn't think twice. I wouldn't say, I'm going to believe for them to do that for me. That'd be ludicrous. If they said they were going to do something for me, I'd just get out of bed in the morning and say, you know they're going to do that? Well, isn't that nice of them? See, I'd act like they were going to do it. I wouldn't be, well, believe in God. My legs still bother me, so I don't think I have again. You know, I'm feeling a little bit better, but now I want to believe for my complete healing. Say something really dumber yet. People have been taught to do that by ministers. They've been trained in churches to do those kind of dumb things, to get further away from faith in God. See, no, we have it. Hallelujah. Praise God. To me, it's, see, you get this stuff and get the promises in you. See, when sickness comes, it's automatically to you. No, I'm healed. I'm not sick. I'm healed. I believe I received my healing. I don't care what my body says. It'll have to just shut up. My body's going to have to be quiet. Body, you're going to have to obey. You have to obey the word. You know, it's just like, you know, now people don't get it. You know, just like with Wanda, she had her, when she had her heart surgery, you know, I mean, they just had a hard time. Common sense was not in the ER, you know, the stuff. And they, you know, when they're there, had her and they're checking her out, the ICU, and she has no pain. And they, in the worst way, want to give her a shot for pain. You know, you got to have pain, you know, you got to have that. We need common sense. You know, they would not let her, and I just told her to take a shot. They didn't want her to leave the place without taking a pain shot. I said, take a shot so we can get out of here. Let's just keep. We don't need it. She never took a pain pill after that the whole time. After that, never took one. Why? Because we agreed that's what was going to happen. Do you know God had to do it? People say, isn't that nice he did that? He had to do it. We believed it in our heart and said it with our mouth. We believed the promise concerning healing. She had to do it. That didn't surprise me that happened. I'd have been shocked it didn't. That's what would have shocked me. I'm not shocked. Wanda and I never got all blown out about that thing with her. We already got blown out before she ever had her operation. We'd already done a few jigs and said, well, praise God, she's healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Nah, well, when I see it, then we'll really praise him, you know. Then we're really going to tell people. Then we're really going to do something. Then we will. Ha ha. I'm a faith person. Seeing's believing and feeling's believing. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. But want everything we agreed to. See, that's one of the reasons why. I wasn't being mean to anybody. We didn't tell people in the church. I didn't want people taking off in different directions. But I told people exactly what we believe and what we expected. Become an Abraham. Become an Abraham. He's not some guy in some special category. He's the norm in the kingdom. Hallelujah. He's normal. Glory to God. Be normal. Hallelujah. Take a hold of this spiritual sense that God gave us. And let's walk in it. You know, we know the end of the story. And you know what God said at the end of the story? An angel did not appear to him. They always have these pictures. An angel shows up, you know, holds his arm. None of that took place. The Bible tells us a voice came from heaven. So an angel spoke from heaven and said to him, don't harm the son. And the Lord said this, because you obeyed me and you offered your, you were willing to offer, because you did this, I'm going to fulfill all that I said. I'm going to do it. See, his obedience, a consistency of obedience is the fulfillment of promise. You can't move it along and then just all of a sudden quit being disobedient to the promise and then expect it to take place. You got to continually, faith is a continual walk. This is why he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It is a way of living. It is not something done one time. See, when people go to trying to get healed one time, they're trying to do it. The next time they're sick, it's back to the same square one all over again. Instead of being something better the next time out saying, hey, this thing ain't taking a hold of me. No, it doesn't do that because they're just back to square one all over again. They've moved away from the promise. They haven't been walking in this healing stuff. They haven't been maintaining themselves. They haven't been over here at the promise. They're looking at those and laying those promises. He said this here. He said that here. He said this here. See, like with Abraham, God gave him the promise here. Abraham listened to it and believed it. And he moved it down. He gave a promise again. He gave a promise again. And he gave a promise again. And Abraham never let none of them go. And God says, go sacrifice your son. Okay, getting up the morning, cut the wood up. Here we go. I've heard ministers preach because Abraham made this statement as they were going. He said, and Isaac asked, where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. And he said, see, Abraham's confession, he's believing God will provide because he didn't plan, he wasn't going to have to sacrifice his son. Well, if he did, then all this was a flunky test that didn't even amount to nothing. Abraham was a man of faith. He was going to sacrifice his son. He was going to obey God. That's the glory of this thing. This man so believed God, hallelujah, that he moved heaven that gave you and I what we get today. What are you getting for somebody? Is your faith getting anybody anything? Hallelujah, mine is. Every time you walk by faith, it's doing something, folks. And it's not supposed to be just for us. Hallelujah. I walk by faith because it affects my offspring. And we don't have just our physical offspring. We have the offspring of the church. The church today, one of the things, the problem. See, back when I came into the kingdom, we had a lot of people walking and living by faith. And man, it affected stuff. Today we don't. And this is why the church don't affect much. They don't have the glory that was revealed then. The things ain't happening because people weren't walking. Today, they don't walk in the level of faith that people were walking in at that time. There's a higher level of faith. See, we need to come back. Well, people need to get up and start walking by faith again. We need to, get ourselves over. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. I don't care what seems to be happening or going on. I'm going to believe the Bible. The Bible's true. Taking the promises. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to get those promises from the Bible and get them in yourself. Lay them out before you. It's like with healing. I would just take healing all the time. Go over the scriptures. Till today, anything comes to me, the first thing I think about is what the Word says about it. I don't think about, maybe I ought to go get this done or ought to have that done. I don't even enter my mind anymore. But I don't just do that once in a while. I do that all the time. I have confessions I do concerning healing, my body being well and strong. Hallelujah, that I got a healed body. I'm not trying to get it healed. Hallelujah. It is a healed body. My immune system works absolutely great. It's good. Hallelujah. It's not, well, as you get older, Well, sure, I know all those unbelieving people are going to die quicker. I know that. Dear God, you don't have to tell me. Hallelujah. We're walking in greater glory. You can do what Abraham does. This is the wonder of it. When I would see people in the Bible and what they did, for some reason, I'd get the idea that I could do those things. That God would work in you in the same way. I just thought they would. I wasn't too bright, I guess. I don't know, but I don't want to get bright like most people are today. They're so bright, and they're just nice stories in a book. They can't be that. Hallelujah. Those promises. But I encourage you, especially today, concerning your descendants. Hallelujah. Your offspring. You get yourself in faith about it. Hallelujah. God's going to take care of this stuff. Cast your care on Him and stop this stuff, this whining and praying stuff about things. And oh boy, look what they're doing. I don't pay no attention to what they're doing. I'm not letting them affect my faith by what they're doing is. You're looking into their doing, you're nosy anyhow. That's your problem. I don't look at it. They say and do things. I ignore it, pay attention to it. Why? Because I'll tell you what, my faith is greater than they're doing. I got a covenant with a God that's greater than anything they'll do. My covenant, if it did for Abraham and carried this thing the whole way down the line, woo! What are we in today? We're the church of Jesus Christ. My God. Get back and watch and enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Watch God do something wonderful. Take your hand off of it. Hallelujah. Get a smile on your face when you think about what them heathens are doing. And smile and say, glory to God. God, let me show you what the Word says. I got a promise. I go over the 128th Psalm and say, Lord, this is what you said. Woo! Glory to God. My kids are a fruitful vine by that. My wife's a fruitful vine. My children's all the plants around the table. Glory to God. You said if I obeyed you and I'm obeying. Lord, if I've disobeyed, you show me what to do. And you got to get right back in business fixing that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you can't pray like that about it, quit praying at all. God don't want to listen to your whining about what they've done and you telling them like He didn't see it. Because if He ever listened to Him talking to you, He'd tell you, keep your blind mouth shut. He'd say, quit your complaining. I want to hear some faith out of your mouth. It's good preaching, folks. See, you're saying, I'll tell you what, my kids ain't going to hell. Amen. Glory to God, my family's in heaven with me. Hallelujah, because of obeying God, dear Lord, my brothers and sisters are all going to heaven. This obedience thing, folks, this thing of doing what's right is the power of the Word of God. Is obeying it, doing it. Everybody wants power. There's no power in not doing. When you act like the Word's true in the middle of what looks like everything's wrong, and you act like the Bible's true, I'm going to tell you what, you just lit the dynamite, folks. It's going to explode. It has to explode because God cannot back out on His promise. He's a liar if He does. He will never lie. Hallelujah. To me, that's the assurance of heaven. That's the assurance. God can't lie about it. If He does, I can call Him out because I'm more righteous than He is. If I do what's right and He don't, hallelujah, He will never be unrighteous. I have acted unrighteous. I have done unrighteous things, but He ain't ever done one. Hallelujah. That's why we can trust Him. Glory. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, get happy about your kids. Get happy about what's going on. Glory to God. Don't you worry about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let God work things out. Let him bring things to the end He wants to bring them to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've learned, you know, Kenneth Hagin said, you know, he said, most of your relatives and stuff and things, they ain't going to listen to you anyhow. I learned that. They don't. They don't pay no attention to you, you know. Growing up, I thought my parents, you know, they're just old fogies. They just didn't know that we were just so smart in our generation. You know, we're just so intelligent. And they didn't listen. Hallelujah. But you know what? We got an elder brother, Jesus, and we don't pay no attention to Him. He's given us all this wisdom in the book, and we haven't done no better with it. We thought we were smarter than He is, and we keep trying to do it ourselves. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But see, as you get down to it, that's why you have to learn to turn to the wisdom of the Bible. Say, God's wise. If He says it, I don't care what it looks like. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than the fact of, like I told the Lord back when I first got born again, only born again a few months, and said to Him, I didn't know if I wanted to go to heaven, if my family didn't go to heaven, and my wife and kids didn't go to heaven. I said, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. What would it be to be in heaven? And knowing your family's lost for eternity. I mean, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine that. And all that started off is because a Christian family had a 19-year-old son who died unsaved. I'm going to tell you what. It just gripped my heart. I thought, man, this is how something like this happens. Absolutely awful. And they're down here, and they weren't old people. And I'm thinking, they're going to live down in this earth knowing their child's lost and eternity is gone. See, they didn't know about this stuff. They weren't taught. Hallelujah. And that's when God gave me the 128th Psalm. That's when He gave it to me. I was just a young Christian. Man, I tell you what, that Psalm changed my life. When the Lord spoke to me about that, changed my life concerning things because I was free now to follow God. I'm over trying to make all this stuff work, trying to fix everything with the family, trying to do all this. God's going to work in this thing. Hallelujah. He's given promise. If I obey Him and do what He says, He said, I'll take care of your family. Glory to God. He's been so faithful. He's been so darn good at this thing. He's been absolutely wonderful at this thing. Hallelujah. When things get out of line, He brings them back into line again. Because I get the book out and say, remember this one, Lord? Remember you spoke this to me? Remember this baby? Hey! Lord, if I've missed it, You show me. I'll get back in line. If I've missed it, I'm being disobedient. You show me. Because I get back in line, You have to fulfill the promise. See, if I walk in right, just like Abraham. Abraham's obeying and walking right. God has to fulfill the promise. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You. Lord God, we're ending a year. And Lord, You talk very straight and point blank and blunt today. But Lord God, there's things coming in this year to come that's going to shake many. Many, the foundation of many people are going to be shaken. Many people are going to, Lord God, what they have trusted and what they have relied in, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to uphold, Lord God. But Lord, You're raising up a people that will not be moved because, Lord God, they haven't built a foundation on what men's doing or men's ideas or men's ways. Their foundation has been the Word of God. Their foundation has been set, hallelujah, in the words of our Master Jesus Christ. And Father, your glory, Lord, that you poured out in this book, Lord, that you give, this wonderful book, Lord God, that you've laid out, hallelujah, from the beginning, Lord God, till the end. Father God, filled with your promises and what your plans and your purposes are. And Lord God, there's a people who are rising up who are standing on those things. And they're not standing on what could be shaken, but they're standing in an unshaken kingdom, hallelujah. And Lord God, this year to come is a year of stepping into a greater glory. Lord God, is of things that have not been seen will come into the seen realm, will manifest, hallelujah, things, Lord God, things that people have dreamt, that they've stood in your face, Lord God, and believed, hallelujah. Lord, they've called on you, and Lord, they haven't moved in expectation, Lord God, of what you were going to accomplish and do. And Father, we're in that days. Lord God, I can still see myself walking, Lord God, in the city of Lebanon. Lord God, I know even in the house I was in front of when you spoke to me and said in the last days there will be a great revival will come to this valley. And that revival that will come, it will not come because of the generation of this time. But there's a generation before who has sought me and stood before me. And he said, this generation will see the glory that that generation has stood for, has stood in my face. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord, we want to honor their faith. We're going to walk right. We're going to do what's right and honor their faith of what they called. And we're going to live in this revival and walk by faith in it. We're not going to be sluggards and slitting back and just waiting for a God to do something. Lord God, we're going to be great participants in your promises, Lord God. Walking, Lord God. Lord, not just singing about the anointing, but acting like the anointing's true. We have an anointing from the Holy One. Lord God, I thank you for your anointing powerfully on us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, we cast devils out in Jesus' name. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Death is far from us. Sickness moves away from us because by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. Father God, we're well. We got sound minds. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. Lord God, we can think soundly. Good. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we have wisdom uncompared to any. Hallelujah, Lord God. The Holy Spirit is showing us in every area. Walk in what we do, Lord God. The Holy Spirit is giving us wisdom, hallelujah, to walk in it. And Father God, we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Lord God, this is a year that we set ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God and not led by what people are doing or saying or what our government's doing or what our government's saying. Or what, Lord God, we're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. We're going to listen. Lord God, this is not going to be a new year of fear, of wringing of hands, Lord God. It's a year of faith, hallelujah. It's a year of joy. It's a year of great expectation of the glory of God. It's a year of setting things in order again. Again, there shall be justice in the name of Jesus. Again, there shall be righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord God, there's going to be correction in the church. Lord God, correction in the church to bring ones back, Lord God. Lord, there has been no fear. And Lord God, there will be fear again in the church. There will be a fear of evil and doing wrong. Hallelujah. Because these are the days of payment. Payment for ones who have not walked. Yes, these are the days that ones will reap what they have sown. Oh, yes, yes, and they won't get away with it. They won't stop and say, oh, well, no, we'll just turn around. No, they're going to have to face some things, hallelujah. And if they don't face them, then their faith will dwindle. Their faith will dwindle, and they'll not walk. They'll have to face. They're going to have to walk in these things. They're going to have to come back and repent, hallelujah, and turn themselves back once more and build themselves up again once more to come and walk. They're going to have to do that. It's not going to be just a wave of the wand. No, no. For those who have labored and those who have walked, yes, great glory is coming, and they will walk in places. But for ones who have been sluggard for many years and have not walked, it will take much to bring them back around to walk where they want to walk. Hallelujah. It will not happen instantly. It won't happen. Hallelujah. For I'm a God who's righteous and just. For those who labor, I give more. For those who have walked right, get greater reward. And I will reward them greatly in the name of Jesus. And for those who have not, they will have their reward. They will have their reward. Oh, yes. These are the days and times because it's fulfillment days. It's fulfillment times, folks, the word is coming to pass. Judgment will start in the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, and those who have walked and done what I've told them to do, oh, what reward is coming. Hallelujah. What reward is coming? Great reward. Great reward. Great reward. Hallelujah. Overflowing reward beyond the imagination. Oh, as the prophet Kenneth Hagin had said before he left, oh, my, I couldn't even tell you how glorious. It is just so glorious. It is just so, it's hard to say. The glory, it's hard to say. There's no words to speak it. Ha ha. And it shall be. Yes, and you shall walk in a greater anointing and a greater, oh, and on the inside, you will many times stop to yourself and almost pinch yourself in wondering, what have I stepped into? Is this really real? Do I really see and understand these things? Is this really happening? And oh, yes, it is. It will really happen. It will really work because there's a place of glory that you're going to walk. Oh, so glorious. Oh, so glorious. Hallelujah. Wisdom will flow like a river. Knowledge to do things will flow like a river. Understanding and comprehension of what's going on around you. You will not see things as men see them, but you will see them as the Spirit sees. And you will look at, you will understand what motivations are behind things that are going on. You will comprehend those things. You will know what makes things work and tick because you will not be seeing with the eye. You will be seeing through the Spirit and know what to do to deal with things. Hallelujah. You will no longer just be dealing with symptoms. You will be dealing with what the problems really are, and things will change drastically. Hallelujah. Things will change drastically in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this is the time, and this is the walk, and this is the place. Hallelujah. For you've not sat back and just went and rested. You've decided to push in. Hallelujah. And I will show myself to you, says the Lord. I will prove myself because your labor did not go in vain. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're excited. We're excited, Lord. Hallelujah. We're excited about what's to come. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to be afraid. We can face anything. Hallelujah. We're like our father Abraham, our father of faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're walking in His footsteps. We're going to follow Him out to the end. Hallelujah. Of what You've called us to do. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, we'll sacrifice whatever You tell us to. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's just like with Abraham. There's always something greater on the other side. Hallelujah. Lord, no man ever sacrificed anything without getting something greater for You. Nobody ever laid anything down without getting something greater. And Lord God, we just lay them at Your feet. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're just going to do this year. We're going to cast all of our cares, all of our worries, and all of our anxieties over on You. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to make a worry-free year. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to worry about what all the crazies are doing in this country. We're not going to worry about what all these people and the voices of leaders and what they're saying and doing. Lord God, they're not going to be our voice. They're not going to be our voice in this time, in this period. Lord God, we have a voice that we hear. Lord God, your word has a power with us. Lord God, your word is the first place. It's the first place. And Lord God, I want to thank You. Your word, that's what we will hear. We will hear Your word, and Your word will bring joy and peace and rest to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we'll walk with great confidence. And Lord God, we're going to come to some wonderful conclusions this year. There's going to be some wonderful conclusions that will be come to this year. Hallelujah. That will reach out, Lord God. Those conclusions, Lord God, we're going to touch into things that are going to be so wonderful, Lord God, because we're going to make the right conclusions concerning Your word. Hallelujah. That are going to bring things to pass. Hallelujah. Father, our offspring are following and walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our offspring, Lord God, our descendants. Hallelujah. The ones from our bodies. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to thank You that they're following the Lord. They're walking with You in their ways. Hallelujah. Lord God, I don't care what it looks like with them, but what it seems like. Hallelujah. Father God, we're not interested in what goes on in between. We're only interested in the end result. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we will have the end result that we want. Just like You told me, look, Lord God, concerning my brothers and sisters. Lord God, and my oldest sister, she waited out to the end, but she came in. She came in. She fought to hold out, but she couldn't hold out no more. Hallelujah. Because You told me, because I walked with You and did what You said You were going to do it. And Your promise, You cannot lie. Hallelujah. You can't lie. Hallelujah. They got to come in. They got to come in. Hallelujah. And then just like we read the story, Lord God, hallelujah, we're just like Isaac. Hallelujah. We're just like Isaac. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And our seed's coming into the kingdom. Our seed's going to walk with you. Hallelujah. We're going to be in heaven with our families. Hallelujah. Together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your word is true in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isn't the word wonderful? Isn't the word wonderful? See, and that's where this is. Right. No matter what goes on, you start saying what the word says. And I'm going to tell you what. You can't go to any place but rest in peace and joy. It'll take you. If you're not rest in peace and joy, it's because you're on the wrong page. You're in the wrong book. You get over in the right book and you get in there and you start saying, get those things on your voice. Hallelujah. Get the promises on your voice. And get them saying them. Hallelujah. And you take a running spell like Mike here. Just, woo, your feet get it. It gets in your, you get excited. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what you want to do. Hallelujah. That's what the word does. What looks hopeless becomes something that is just as natural. You could see it to come to pass. When others say it can't, say, it's impossible it wouldn't. It's impossible that wouldn't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.